Today's scripture reading comes from Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to me. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesizing, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds, breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Very happy to see Marvin back. So welcome back, Marvin. We all missed you. So we can greet Marvin after the worship. And we may not have snacks now. So everybody is staying behind until lunchtime here. Let me start my stopwatch here. Recently, we are talking about a recession that's coming. I mean, people are worried about the recessions. Those ones who buy stocks know that the stock market has been dropping daily, so giving some of us heart attacks. There could be a recession, depression. And if you watch the news, most of us do, it is quite depressed, especially if you watch the news in Europe. It is heartbreaking. And we all pray to God, and we pray for justice, but we pray for peace. But it doesn't seem like peace is coming soon. And in our life, we may be in a little bit of depression, despair, and because of work, the situation. In these last 2 years, and I think we have gone through times that we have never been in before. At the beginning, I think we all in great uncertainty as to how this pandemic going to end. I think we started to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But a lot of the churches, I think most of the churches are still suffering. Members left, left for just stop going to church or even attending any online worships. I think we have lost some church members. In the Chinese congregation, some of them we don't know where they are. We are not connected. So it looks like we are in a very depressed situation when you look at economically, look at the world, the pandemic. And this morning I read about the news in Canada. We also, there's many challenges in front of us. This morning, we look at a chapter from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet. Some of you may have studied him a bit in your Sunday school, in Bible studies. And chapter 37 is a very well-known chapter where the prophet Isaiah was led by the Spirit to a valley, to a field, and see all these dry bones, just like in the movie. I think of the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, you see all these skeletons, and suddenly they all come alive. Prophet Isaiah was in an even more depressed, despair situation than us. Israel in the north has been invaded 100 years before its time, and Judah, the southern kingdom where Prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel was from, is also being destroyed. So they lost the two, the north and the south kingdom. And you can see the depression he was in. It's kind of, when I read Isaiah, I think of the people in Ukraine. I mean, their country is at the edge of being, well, they're being invaded. Being fully invaded, that the country is going to be destroyed. And for Ezekiel, he is being exiled. He was really young as a prophet, but he already lost his country. He become slaves in exiles. And in a situation like this, he wrote this book, Ezekiel. And chapter 37 is a very interesting chapter because he was led by the Spirit to see this vision, a very special vision. And Ezekiel and his people, they were looking, waiting for this restoration of their country. They're waiting for the salvation from Jehovah. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. So that expressed the feeling of not just the prophet, but all the people there. Our bones are dried up. You talk about the Israelites. Our hope is gone. It's totally hopeless. We don't have a country anymore. We are cut off from God. They feel that God has abandoned them. But they were the people of God. There was a covenant between the Israelites and Jehovah, but they felt that they were cut off. There's no hope. And then the Lord led Ezekiel to see a vision. We don't know how this vision is being done, carried out. But the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. So it's like almost like in a scary movie where you are led to go to. If you may have this in your nightmare, you have a dream, and then you end up in this valley of all these skeletons, dead body. But he's talking about not just dead body, he's talking about bones, dry bones. So for us, we have to first realize that we are in great despair, that we are in need, that our spiritual situation is like dry bone. The Israelites, they realize that they are like dry bones. They need God's salvation. But do we realize that we are also, our spiritual situations like dry bones? You first need to realize that you are spiritually thirsty before you can have a revival. Here the people of Israel, Ezekiel, I keep saying Isaiah, Ezekiel, he realized that they are like dry bones. They're crying out. So when the prophet saw this vision, he saw all these dry bones lying there. He led me back and forth. So he kept walking back and forth just to make sure that the spirit, make sure that Ezekiel did not miss any. So he led me to walk back and forth, you know, front and back. Walking around, I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were not just dry, very dry. So we have to realize that our spiritual life is very dry, lifeless. Are we in this situation spiritually? Here, of course, he's talking about the nation of Israel. They are dry. I think this dryness is more than just that their nation, the two kingdoms, has been destroyed. It's more than they are now exiled. They don't have a country anymore. Today, we may complain a lot about our government, but I think we really have to thank the Lord that we are in a, first, we are in a very wealthy country. We are in a free country. We have democracy. We still have a country, so we should appreciate that. But for Ezekiel and his people, they are like dry bones. They don't have a country. And spiritually, they felt that they have been cut off from the Lord. So first, we have to realize that we are in a depressed situation. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So the Lord prophesied to, told Ezekiel to prophesy to these dry bones. These dry bones are the people, the nation of Israel. They are dead as a nation and also spiritually. They've been cut off. So the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy. To preach to the bones. It's kind of a bit strange. I'm sure Ezekiel felt very awkward. Right? If we are asked to preach as a pastor, we would like to preach to at least people who are alive. Right? So someone invite you as a preacher, as a pastor, to go, can you come tonight to preach? There will be thousands of audience in this field to listen to your preaching. I said, that's great. So where this place is, this is in Oceanville, the cemetery. Come tonight at midnight. There will be a lot of people there listening to your, dead people, listening to your preaching, and they won't leave even after you finish. And you don't have to worry about people falling to sleep. No, they won't wake up either. Right? So you're not going to be very excited now. I mean, you're going to ask me to go and preach to in a cemetery. So I'm sure Ezekiel was wondering, you know, I'm going to preach to this all these dry bones, you know, not even dead bodies, but dry bones. They've been dead for a long time. And that is the beginning of the revival. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The beginning of the revival come from the word of the Lord. Go back to God's commandments. So that's what Jehovah, the Lord is telling Ezekiel. Go back to God's word. Today for us, it's the same. No, today if you feel that you're spiritually thirsty, you try to go to more programs, those will help. But ultimately, you have to go back to the word of God, the Lord. It is the word of the Lord that revives you. So the Lord told Ezekiel to preach to these dead bones my word, and they will be revived. So I prophesied, I was commanded, and as I was prophesizing, there was a noise. It's just like in the movie Terminator, like all these, the dead bones suddenly got up, There was a noise, a rattling noise, sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and then they are suddenly all connected. It's just like in those adventure movies. Suddenly you were in a valley of bones, and then when you preach to them, Ezekiel, then they're all being joined together. And as the tendons and flesh appears on them, and they're coming alive, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So the bones become just skeletons, you know, dancing, jumping around, but there was no life yet. And then the Lord commanded Ezekiel, I will make breath unto you, and you will come to life. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Revival is the work of the Holy Spirit. The word breath in this chapter 37 has been used in three different translations. In verse 1 and 14, ruah is the word, the Hebrew word of spirit, breath here. In verse 1 and 14, it is translated ruah as the spirit. Verse 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 is breath translated. And then verse 9, the same word, ruah, translated as wind. But all these translations are the same word. So I will make breath unto you, and you will come to life. So a spiritual revival, here is of course referring to the nation of Israel. First, the people are to come back to the word of the Lord, and it is God's Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, that revive the country. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord and have spoken and I have done it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that brought the Israelites, the Jewish people, back to become a nation, because the Lord wants to prove to the world that He is God. He is the Lord of the universe. If you want to have a spiritual revival, it is the same for us today. Even though this prophecy is he's talking about the people of Israel as a nation, but we need to come back to the word of the Lord, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit, the revival of the Holy Spirit in us. We need to pray to the Spirit and let the Spirit give us life again. And so I prophesize, Ezekiel said, so I prophesize as he commands, so he's preaching to these dead bones, and then the dead bones start joining bone to bone together, and breath enter them. It is God ultimately. Is this God came to life, or the bones, the skeletons came to life and stood up on their feet and became a vast army. This is the prophecy of God talking about the people of Israel, but not too long, a couple of decades. After Ezekiel made the prophecy, 538 BC, and the Israelites were restored. And then 1948, the nation of Israel was formed. I look at this chart here, telling us the number of Jewish people, population in Israel. 80, there are 24,000 Israelites in the present day Israel. 1914, 90,000. 1948, when the nation was reformed, 650,000, half a million people. And then the number of people keep increasing. 1992, 4.2 million. Year 2000, 5 million. Today, 2015, the latest statistic here, 6.25 million. So the prophecy of Ezekiel has been fulfilled. Isn't this amazing? And Ezekiel made this prophecy while his country is destroyed. There was no hope that they could ever be returned. But it is God's power, the work of the Holy Spirit. What is the main purpose behind chapter 37? We know it's all about the spiritual revival, the restoration of a nation. But the real, the key meaning of chapter 37 is telling us that God is in control. He controls the history. So let us not be worried. It may look around. Things may look not the way that we hope it to be, especially from a Christian perspective. It looks really depressing from a Christian perspective. Our faith has been marginalized in our society. We feel sometimes embarrassed, even though we are a Christian country, to share our faith. But hey, Ezekiel 37 tells us that God is in control. Ezekiel made this prophecy during a hopeless situation. But today, when we look back 2,500 years later, this is being fulfilled. But is Ezekiel here talking about just the restoration of the nation of Israel? And verse 19, it continues. God continues to inspire Ezekiel. And here, God is actually explaining to Ezekiel what this prophecy means. Right? So he's doing a personal interpretation here. I'm going to take the stick of Joseph and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. So the Lord is prophesying that the two kingdoms that were destroyed, you know, the one in the north, Israel, the one in the south, Judah, will one day be just like two sticks. They will become one in my hand, which is, we can see it today. There's no longer a northern kingdom, a southern kingdom, but only one Israel. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. But as we continue to read chapter 37, it seems that Ezekiel, the prophet, is pointing to something is more than the restoration of the nation of Israel. And today we know that Israel is a powerful military and economically country. That part, the restoration of the nation has been fulfilled. But here, when the dry bones become alive again, it's more than just the restoration of a nation, but it's a spiritual revival. And we know that part has not been fulfilled. Today is less than 2% Christians in today's Israel. And of that Christians, 85% of them are actually Arab Christians. So spiritually, that part has not been fulfilled. But maybe here, Ezekiel is pointing to something greater and beyond the nation of Israel. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and their real images or with any of the offenses. For I will save them for all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. I have preached on this, which is the covenant before. There, they will be my people, and I will be their God. That is the covenant of the Old Testament. That's the theme of the entire Old Testament. It's about the covenant between Israel and Jehovah, that I will be their God if they are my people. That's why the Israelites think that they are, well, they still do, that they are the people of God. And in chapter 37, this was actually repeated twice. They will be my people, and I will be their God. So the Lord here is reminding Ezekiel and the people that the basis, the requirements of keeping the covenant, the blessings from the covenant, is that you be my people, and then I'll be your God. I will protect you. I will bless you. But if you go and worship idols, then the covenant will be broken. Here is pointing to something greater and beyond than Israel. You're talking about the restoration of all the people on earth, that there will be only one. This becomes more obvious, or I shouldn't say obvious, becomes lead us think that way, that my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. So this new nation, a new people of God, will be led by a shepherd, David. There will be only one people of God. And these people of God will keep my rules, laws. But always today, the people of Israel are not. And they and their children and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. If you know the New Testament well, I think you can start seeing that Ezekiel is pointing to someone that's bigger, greater, not just the King David. You're talking about Jesus Christ, the second, the coming of Jesus, that he is the King David. He is the great shepherd. He will be the prince forever. So Ezekiel is pointing something beyond the restoration of the nation of Israel. He's pointing to that one, there will be only one people, Jews and Gentiles. There's no more division between them. And he, the Lord, the great shepherd, will join the people, the Gentiles and the Jews together, and form one new people of God. There will be a new covenant. The new covenant is actually the same as the old covenant, that we will be his people and he will be our Lord. Luke 1:33, and he, Christ, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So there will be a spiritual Israel formed one day. So Ezekiel is prophesying from the dry bones, the restoration of the nation of Israel to a new people of God, that there will be a new kingdom, and Christ Jesus is the Lord, shepherd, prince of this new kingdom. And he himself is the peace. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant, because the first covenant in the Old Testament has been broken. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. God in the Old Testament, God lives in the sanctuary. And now God will live among them forever. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, so that in himself he may make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. So Ezekiel is pointing to something that's greater and beyond the restoration of the nation. He's talking about a spiritual revival, a new people of God, a new covenant of peace, a new leader, great shepherd for these people. God will live among these new people forever. And this is being fulfilled in Christ. Has this prophecy been fulfilled? Okay, what's the answer here? Sunday school quiz. Has this prophecy been fulfilled? Yes, and not yet. That is our saying. Yes, and not yet completed. The prophecy has been fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross, that there's no more division between the Jews and the Gentiles, and there's a new people, and the Holy Spirit now come into the believer's heart. So this prophecy has been fulfilled, but is it completed? No, it's still going on. It will continue until that day. And I heard a loud, then the nation will know that I am the Lord, make Israel holy. All this, the prophecy, just to show the world that who is in control here. My sanctuary is among them forever. Revelation 21:3. The tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. Doesn't this sound familiar again? It's repeating what Ezekiel is saying. Well, not what Ezekiel is saying, repeating the Old Testament covenant. And they will be his people, and God himself will be among them. Revelation 21:3. Wow, 2,000 years later, John wrote the same thing. God will be our Lord, and we will be his people. God will dwell among his believers forever. This prophecy has fulfilled partially, but is still continuing today. God is in control of the history. This darkness. I was going to actually use the title for my sermon, God Has the Last Laugh. If you look at when Ezekiel wrote the chapter, the nation of Israel has been destroyed. People are in exile. The Babylonians, they're so powerful and strong. Who can fight against them? Where are the Babylonians now? Where are the Assyrians now? Where are the Romans? Ezekiel still here as a nation. God is in control. We look at the world, it may be depressing. Hey, God is in control. God has the last laugh. But it says so in the Bible. Psalm 2:4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. So God has the last laugh because he controls the history. There's a spiritual revival going on today in the world. It may not be here, but in the world, God's Holy Spirit is at work. But let us join God's revival. Let's first realize that we are a whole bunch of dry bones this morning. I don't know about you. Maybe you feel that you think that you're very spiritually enriched today. That you're a very spiritual person. But let's look at ourselves. Are we just one of those spiritual dry bones? Maybe not super dry, maybe just bones. Do we need a spiritual revival? Spiritual revival of the church comes from you first, your personal spiritual revival. We cannot revive the church if you yourself first is not being revived. You need to first realize that you are just one of the dry bones, like myself. I need God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, to continually renew us each day so that we can be part of this vast army. A very famous revivalist, evangelist, Baptist evangelist, Gypsy Smith, that's his nickname. His real name is Ronnie Smith. But people call him Gypsy Smith because he's from Gypsy parents. And when he was 16, he became a Christian. And when he was 20 years old, he already became a very famous preacher at age 20. He was hired by the Salvation Army to become a travel evangelist. Ronnie Smith, a British pastor. And he spent his life traveling and preaching between US and Britain. So he has done 50, more than 50 transatlantic journeys in his lifetime. In those days, you had to travel by ship, so it's not as easy. And he has held many revival meetings, and many churches, people were revived from his meetings. So he was asked one time, what brings revival to the church? So Pastor, what was the name again? Pastor, told them people, okay, you go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, and with a piece of chalk, write a circle. That's what Pastor Ronnie said. Draw a circle around yourself, and then you kneel down and pray fervently and brokenly. And you pray that God will start a revival within that chalk circle. The revival of the church comes from you, me, each one of us. We need to come to the Lord as a dry bone and ask God to revive us, to ask the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Are we living each day as a spiritually controlled followers? Or am I just following Christ each day like a dead bone, like a skeleton? And at the end, I want to share this. I don't know if you call this a poem or article. If everybody in the church is revived, if all the sleeping folk will wake up, and all the lukewarm folk will fire up, and all the dishonest folk will confess up, and all the disgruntled folk will sweeten up, stop complaining, and all the discouraged folk will cheer up, and all the depressed folk will look up to the Lord, and all the estranged folk will make up. No divisions, fighting between Christians, and all the gossipers will shut up. This is a good one. And all the dry bones will shake up, and all the true soldiers will stand up. Then we will have a revival, and this revival starts from you and myself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come to you, let us recognize that we are just a whole bunch of dry bones. Revive us. This revival has to come from you, the Spirit. It's not from our trying, our effort. This morning, help us to humble before you. Ask for your forgiveness, and ask that the Holy Spirit once again fill us, lift us, and revive us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.